Good morning, everyone. Continuing now with our discussion of what's going on in the Gulf, here's the latest. BP has said today that it has deployed methods to contain the oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico and that it will try to fully stop the flow later this week. The company also says that based on its current efforts to siphon oil out of the leaking pipe there at the bottom of the Gulf, that 1,000 barrels a day have been pumped and captured on the surface by the drill ship. It's just containing the flow, BP officials say, but later this week they hope to stop it entirely. Bill McKibben joins us once again. He's an environmental activist and writer. His latest book is called Earth. That's E-A-A-R-T-H. Subtitle, Making a Life on a Tough New Planet. He joins us from Beijing in China. Good morning once again, Bill.
Hey, John.
So I want you to step back here. We've been talking about the details of inserting pipes in here and there and containment domes. You sort of itemized the various plans that were underway to try to contain this oil spill since April 20th, Earth Day, when the offshore oil rig exploded and sank and caused what we've been talking about virtually every day since. Are you seeing something of, and thinking of your book now, of a biological process going on as one species, human beings, sort of adapt their energy thirst to not spoiling the planet in some way, and that the planet is going to respond in its own way?
Here's the way to think about it, maybe. Let's say that oil had done what it was supposed to do, that BP hadn't screwed up and that the oil had come safely up the pipeline and gone ashore to a refinery and been turned into gasoline and burnt in our cars. What then? Well, what then is an environmental disaster just as large or larger than the one we're seeing in the Gulf? The ongoing destruction of the stable climate that's marked the 10,000 years of human civilization. You can't see it. It's not ugly and black, but there is an invisible spill pouring into our atmosphere every day doing the same kind of damage. Everything frozen on Earth has begun to melt. Even the ocean, all the ocean, every place is turning 30% more acid as seawater tries to absorb that carbon from the atmosphere. This is the real story. And what we see in the Gulf is just a reminder of how filthy fossil fuel is and how we desperately need to speed up the effort to get off of it.
So are you saying, and there are some who will listen to this program who will believe that you're being opportunistic here, that basically this is another opportunity to advance the ideas that you've long held about climate change and the industrial economy in the world. But have we moved beyond the notion that, say, in the Industrial Revolution, all you really have to do is clean up the air and you can coexist with industrial technology, which is what they did in cities like Pittsburgh and Detroit?
That's right.
100 years ago? But we've moved beyond that. Now we can no longer do that sort of thing.
We used to think that environmental damage was the result of something going wrong, like not bothering to put a backup plan in place before you drilled into the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. That kind of damage is very real, but it's not the thing that's wrecking the planet as we speak. What's wrecking the planet is this new kind of environmental damage that comes from things going pretty much as they're supposed to, your car burning gasoline, simply at such a huge volume that it's impossible for the Earth's physical systems to cope. I just came back yesterday from Inner Mongolia, the site of the world's largest coal mine, or one of them. Much more than the smog here in Beijing, it's that invisible cloud of carbon dioxide that should be troubling us.
Have you noticed
several days? I'm sorry.
Have you noticed, Bill, as you've traveled and you're spending time there in Beijing, that this story in the Gulf has traction in East Asia, particularly as people in China try to formulate a policy for trading off the growth that they need economically with the notions of combating climate change?
Sure. People are paying attention here. And, of course, they have endless examples in their own lives of the very visible dangers of relying on fossil fuel. I mean, the air is pretty crappy in most Chinese cities. But they can fix that over time. The real question is whether we can get off the fossil fuel entirely. We're not going to stop global warming. At this point, we've warmed the planet about 1 degree, and we've got another degree in the pipeline. The question is whether we can rein it in at all before we get really civilization-challenging chaos. And that's the work that we're trying hard to do at 350.org, this grassroots global climate campaign. Here in China, as in so many other places, there really is this movement building. Last October, one Saturday in October, we had 5,200 simultaneous demonstrations in 181 countries. CNN called it the most widespread day of political action in the planet's history. There were 300 of them here in China, all devoted to telling our leaders that science has got to be respected. When we have people like Jim Hansen telling us and his NASA team that 350 parts per million is the most we can have in the atmosphere, it's no longer a debate between Republicans and Democrats. It's a debate between human beings on the one hand and physics and chemistry on the other. And that's not an easy debate to have. Physics and chemistry don't really negotiate very well.
Let's talk psychology before we go then, Bill. If BP does cap this spill, does it set us back on this question of dealing with the larger problem of carbon, or does it move us forward?
We desperately want them to. Everybody wants them to cap the spill. Hopefully, all of us, chief among them, President Obama, will seize this opportunity to really up the ferocity with which we take on this battle. You know, it was 3 or 4 weeks ago that President Obama said we're going to open more of the coast to offshore drilling because offshore drilling is safe now. 3 days ago, a bunch of activists, including many of my colleagues at 350.org, marched up Pennsylvania Avenue with a huge banner that said, "Obama, this is your crude awakening." I think the hope that that's what will happen here. Look, it was after the Santa Barbara oil spill in 1960 that the first Earth Day got the energy to pass the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act and everything else that still rely on.
Thank heaven
for that.
And the many milestones ahead, and we'll see what happens as a result of the Gulf crisis. On the line from Beijing, Bill McKibben, environmental activist and writer, his latest book, Earth, with two A's in the middle, Making a Life on a Tough New Planet. Thanks, Bill.